Well, if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to just look at one verse today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is what we're going to focus in on this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. In the late 1800s, Carl Benz, who invented the Mercedes-Benz car, drove his very first automobile through the streets of Munich. So he drove his first automobile through the streets of Munich. And trivia people know why he named his car the Mercedes-Benz? Anybody know that? After his daughter, very good. So I think that's pretty cool. But this new car, this newfangled contraption that was part of that community angered the citizens because it was noisy and because it scared the children and scared the horses. And so there was a lot of pressure in the citizens and the local officials, so they immediately established a speed limit for this horseless carriage. And the speed limit was 3.5 miles per hour in the city and 7 miles per hour outside the city limits. And Carl Benz knew that he could never develop a market for his car that would go no faster than a horse if they had to creep along at those speeds. So he invited the mayor of the town to take a ride in this new car. And the mayor accepted. So Benz then arranged for a milkman to park his horse and his wagon on a certain street. And as Benz and the mayor drove by, he told the milkman to whip up the horses and pass them up on the street. And that's what he did. And as he passed them up in this milk wagon, he made a derogatory gesture toward Benz that was kind of the equivalent of a Bronx cheer. And so the plan worked. The mayor was furious and demanded that Benz overtake that milkman and his horse. And Benz apologized. He said, I can't do it because of the law. You know, the law only says I can go 3.5 miles per hour in the city. And very soon after that, the law was changed. So this was a very smart on Carl Benz's part to bring about the needed change to sell his car. And as we think about the idea of change, change is something that is a part of all of our lives, and it's something that is needed. Sometimes we don't like it, and I'm the world's worst when it comes to changing. I've told you before the story about my mom. She had very long, blonde hair, and when I was in junior high, I came home from school, and she'd cut it off, and I lost it. I couldn't handle it. My mother was different. You're supposed to have long hair, and it's short now, you know? Change is difficult for me, and change is difficult for all of us. But, you know, I think there's a part of us that is ready in this new year for change and the challenges that 2020 obviously brought us. Change is a part of ongoing life. And our passage this morning talks about the change or the transformation, if you will, of a person's life once they become a follower of Christ. And so I want to talk about this morning the much needed change that we need to have in our lives, and we're going to focus in on this one scripture. So let's read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come." You know, that's a great verse that you can memorize. It's very easy to memorize. It's not real difficult, and I would encourage you to do that. But I want to focus in on this verse today as we talk about the change that's needed. You know, obviously in a new year, we always look at making changes. You know, January 1st is just another day. But we tend to think, you know, it's a new year, and with a new year, we want to make changes. We want to start over. We want to wipe the slate clean. And it's good to do that. It's good to take evaluation. It's good to see where we've been and where we want to go and what changes I need to make, you know, maybe health and diet and those types of things. So when we think about a new year, we do think about making changes often. But there's a change that we need to make spiritually that what I want to focus in on this morning. And the first thing I want to mention about this verse, number one, if you want to take jot down a few notes, number one is change begins with new life. Change begins with new life. And that's what Paul talked about in that verse. You know, our verse this morning shows us that the very heart of the Christian faith is the need to change. Something has to be different. To be transformed spiritually, a follower of Christ must allow, Paul says, the old things about us to go away and then allow the new things, something new, to take its place. Well, what are these old things that Paul's talking about here? Well, the old refers to everything that was a part of our old nature. That could be pride and the love of sin, reliance upon works to get us to heaven. It could be, anything, our former opinions, our habits, our passions. Paul says in order to become a follower of Christ, these old things are to go away and they're to be replaced with something new and refreshing. Most significantly, what we loved has passed away, especially the love of self and all the things that comes with that, self-righteousness, self-promotion, self-justification. And we see those things very prevalent in our society today. People loving self, promoting self, it's all about self. But that's not how we're supposed to live, according to what the Bible says. And so the new person, though, the new, something has to be replaced, something has to replace the old, the new person should look outwardly toward Christ, toward other people, toward the needs of others, instead of always to self. The old things have to die away, and they're nailed to the cross with our sinful nature, and they're replaced with something new. And along with the old passing away, Paul said the new has come, like we've been talking about. Old dead things are replaced with new things. Things are going to give glory to God. What does it mean to give glory to God? That means to put the spotlight on Him, not ourselves. And so here's what that means, guys. Our purposes, our feelings, our desires, our understandings, the way we spend our money, the way we spend our time, the things we fill up with our calendar, all of a sudden, once we become a follower of Christ, are different than they were before. Because something old has passed away and it's been replaced with a new life in Jesus Christ. And so how we were before changes. It's maybe not immediately a change, but yet we begin to see this process. That's why a lot of you have told me when you became a follower of Christ, especially when you're an adult, people would say, well, what happened to you? You used to be this way and now you're this way. There's something different about you. What is it? What's going on in your life? And it's the power of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living inside of you. It's created a transformation in your life. And you're not how you used to be. And so all these things change, our purpose, our feelings, our desires, understanding, all those things begin to change. All of a sudden, we see the world differently. There are new feelings toward all people, a new kind of love toward family and friends, a new compassion that we have even toward enemies. A new love for all of mankind. And the things we once loved aren't, all of a sudden, they're not very important anymore. The sin that we once held on to, now we have the desire to put that away and not be a part of it anymore. And so, as we think about the year 2021 and the desire to see changes in 2021, we have to give Christ control of our lives and be the new creations that we've been called to be. You know, even as Christians, we still struggle with these things in our lives. We still struggle with reverting back to our old way of life, okay? But that's not who we are. We're not that person anymore. We're somebody different. We're somebody that's been changed radically by the power of God and His Holy Spirit. And so we become this new creation. So live in that. Be that new creation that God calls us to be. So that's the first thing I want to mention. Change begins with new life, and Paul talks about there. The second thing is just a general statement that I want to make, number two, is that change takes time, doesn't it? Change doesn't come about immediately. A lot of times it takes quite a lot of time. And so I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in another book, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He said, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so what that tells us is that God started a good work in your life at the moment that you and I trusted in Jesus for our salvation. At that moment in life, whenever that was, and we were all different ages, and we're all at different walks of life and in different circumstances of life, and every circumstance of us coming to know Christ is different than the other. But there was a time, a starting time in your life when you said, today I'm going to follow Christ, and I'm going to make him the Lord and Savior of my life. And at that moment in time, God started a work in you. And he's going to see that continuing to work in your life until the day that it is completed, according to what Paul says here in Philippians 1:6. So salvation is the first part. We come to the understanding, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I'm going to put my faith and trust in him. I'm going to allow his sin or his love on and dying on the cross to forgive me of my sin. And I'm going to commit my life to him. I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life. We came to that understanding and we became a follower of Christ. But that was just the first part. That's just the beginning. Because here's the thing, guys, and here's the exciting thing. He continues to transform us into his image each and every day. It's not just a one-time thing. He continues to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he will not rest until that good work or to that thing, it is carried on to completion. And so he continues to do that each and every day. But what I'm talking about is this good work that Christ Jesus started in us, Jesus is going to see that through. That means he's not going to let us stay as we are today. He's going to keep chipping away at us until we are finally conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Listen, if we were to be honest, we would say we all have a long way to go until we get there, right? None of us is perfect. And let me just say, if anybody ever tells you that they're perfect, you need to get away from them because God might zap them into a grease spot immediately because there's nobody that's perfect that has ever walked the face of the earth except Jesus Christ, okay? And we are a work in progress. And we're not finished yet. God's not finished with us yet, as we used to hear that old saying. He's not going to let us stay the way we are today. He's going to keep chipping away until we are confirmed into the image of Jesus Christ. And most of us do have a long way to go. Some of us have an enormous distance to travel until we get to that point. But listen, it doesn't matter. Because if you find yourself today where you don't want to be, or you say, I'm not where I need to be spiritually, it's okay. We need to be encouraged because God is continuing to chip away at the former you into the image of Christ that he wants you to be. And so God's not finished with who you are, nor has he given up on you. And that's the great thing. God doesn't just set things into motion and stand back and say, okay, let's let it see how it's all going to work out. No, he's actively involved in our lives. You know, our forefathers, the early fathers of our country, a lot of them were deists, which means they believed in God, they believed in intelligent design, but they believed that God just set it into motion and then everything just kind of happens. But that's not who God is. He is actively involved in the life of the Christian each and every day. Jesus said, I'm with you always to the end of the earth. That's why he sent us his Holy Spirit. And so he's actively involved. He's not going to leave us alone. He's in our presence forever. He's not finished with you and he's not given up on you. Nor does God start the process and just walk away from it. He guarantees the outcome. Says he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here's the neat part, guys, is one day you and I will stand before Jesus Christ as redeemed children of God, holy and blameless and complete in every way. And yeah, we're a far sight from that today, but a better day is coming for the people of God. And what is incomplete will be made complete one day when we stand before God. What is unfinished will be finished, and we will dwell, as the Bible says, in the house of the Lord forever. So be encouraged. Okay, you're not where you want to be. God hasn't given up on you. He believes in you. And he wants the best for you. And he will continue to work in your life. And change takes time. Okay? Somebody said that time is the great healer and the great revealer. And that's true. Change takes time sometimes. And so that's another thing about change we need to understand. But then another thing I want us to understand as we think about the idea of change. And here's the neat thing about God. And a neat quality of God sometimes that we don't, I think, focus on enough. Is that change comes not by force, but by allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control. Let me say that again. Change does not come by force, but by allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control. Here's the thing. God doesn't force anybody to change. He doesn't hold us by the scruff of the neck and say, you better change or else. He doesn't twist our ear and say, you better change or else. He allows us to change. His Holy Spirit works in our lives, and he doesn't force anybody to change. He calls us to change, but he's not going to force us. And Paul reminds us over in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, that our relationship with the Lord begins with the Holy Spirit. Once we put ourselves in the control of Jesus Christ, the Bible says his Spirit indwells us. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, God is going to shape us into the person that he wants us to be if we follow him. Remember that old hymn that we sing sometimes at the end of the service, Just As I Am? We come just as we are, dirty, filthy, rotten people, and God cleans us up from the inside out, and then we become somebody different. We don't have to clean everything up and then come to God. It's just the opposite. We come to him as dirty, rotten people, and God cleans us up through his grace and his power and his mercy. And we become somebody different because the Holy Spirit is a helper. The Bible says in John 14, 26, Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all that I have said to you. That word, the Greek word for Holy Spirit is parakletos. In that passage that I just read in the book of John, it's translated as helper. So the meaning of this word means that the Holy Spirit will be our helper, our legal counsel, if you will. And so the Holy Spirit provides wise counsel to us as followers of Christ. And Jesus knew in that moment, and when he was in the upper room with his disciples there and at that passage that I just read, Jesus knew that he was going to be going away and that his followers would need the Holy Spirit as a helper, as an advocate to remind them of his teachings. And so the Holy Spirit is a helper to us. The Holy Spirit, we know, also convicts us of sin. The Bible says in John 16, 7 and 8, nevertheless, I tell you this truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. But if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So the Holy Spirit is there for us, not as a Jiminy Cricket sitting on our shoulder, reminding us of good and wrong, or good and bad. It's an advocate that shows us, you know, when we're going a certain way, the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives. Let me just say, and this is probably for your life as well, when I have done something that I shouldn't do, I don't need somebody to say, look what you've done, you're a bad person. The Holy Spirit speaks into my heart, usually pretty much every time. And before anybody can even get to the point where they tell me I'm doing wrong, the Holy Spirit's already spoken to me and convicted me, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's a convictor of sin. And so he convicts us of the things, the changes that we need to make. He also guides us in the truth. Jesus said in John 16, verses 13 through 15, he said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he is, will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will be make known to you. So the Holy Spirit guides us into the truth. And also, if you read over in the book of Galatians chapter 5, the Holy Spirit allows us, empowers us to live out the fruits of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Those things don't come naturally. Those things don't come to us in a natural sense, just the opposite. The works of the flesh come to us. Selfishness, pride, arrogance, all those things, anger, wrath. You look at a baby, you can tell that we're born with a sinful nature. Because a baby cries and whines and throws a fit until it gets what he wants. Well, that means that that's how we are. But the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and all of a sudden, we're not that way anymore. We're not selfish and arrogant and prideful. We're loving and kind and faithful. We have self-control. The fruits of the Spirit take over. And so the Holy Spirit allows us to live out those fruits of the Spirit. So guys, the Holy Spirit is there to help us become who God wants us to be. He doesn't force us. He doesn't hold a gun to our head and say, you better conform to my will or else. He says, no, I've given you my advocate, the Holy Spirit, legal counsel, if you will, to enter your life and to change you from inside out. And he will guide you in the Spirit. He will convict you. He will be your helper. He will do all these things. The Holy Spirit, from the time we enter into a relationship with Christ, begins the process of transforming our lives into the image of Christ. That's why we have to rely on the Holy Spirit, not self, to help us be where we need to be. So God brings about this change not by force, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful that he does it that way. Let me ask a question this morning as we kind of wrap things up today. Why is change difficult? Think about that. Why is it so difficult for us to change? We don't like to change. We like things the way we like them. There's a few reasons why I think that why change is difficult. Number one, probably the biggest one, is because we're stubborn, right? We're stubborn by nature. We want what we want, when we want it, and for as how long as we want it. And we don't want to wait. We want it right now. And whenever God, through his Holy Spirit, begins to shape us into his image, like I said earlier, that old self rears its ugly head. We don't want to get rid of our pride. We want what we want, our preferences, and anything else that can potentially keep us from new life in Christ. And so it's hard to change because we're stubborn. We've got to get rid of that stubbornness and allow the Holy Spirit of God to change us. Another reason we don't like to change is because we're comfortable. Right? We get very comfortable. Let me ask you a question. Do you know anyone today that still uses a rotary phone? I hope nobody raises their hand. We've seen them, and you go to a flea market, you might see an old rotary phone that you could buy, and it's fun to pick them up and dial it. I mean, I used a rotary phone when I was a kid. In fact, when I grew up, you only had to dial 4 digits. You didn't have the prefix that you had to dial. My hometown was so small, you just dialed the 4 numbers, you know? But I would, 2406 was my number. No, that was in 2001. That was my number as a boy. 897 was a prefix, but all we had to dial was 2001. But nobody uses a rotary phone today. Why? Because it's inferior technology. There's better things now. Nobody uses an old console TV anymore. Why? Because it's old technology. We have flat screens and plasma screens and all the smart TVs and all that stuff. And I don't even understand it all, but it's there. And they're not even that expensive anymore. It's new technology. But sometimes people are unwilling to change because I'm comfortable with this thing. You know, cell phones. I get comfortable with my cell phone. I don't want to change. For years, I used a BlackBerry, and I loved that BlackBerry. It was great. It had actual buttons on it when you texted, and I held on to the very last strand of that BlackBerry, and I finally had to move on to an Android phone, smartphone. And I hate it. I don't like it still. I wish I had my BlackBerry, but you know what? It's not feasible to use that anymore. There's no more BlackBerries. You can't get all the apps on it and all that stuff. So I had to let it go. But we love what we're comfortable with, right? It's familiar. We've mastered it. It's hard to leave our comfort zone because usually it's going to cost us something. It means I'm going to have to relearn something. Sometimes we get comfortable with our stuff. Sometimes we get comfortable with our sin. And we think we've mastered it, but all these things keep us from growing spiritually. Guys, we need to be uncomfortable sometimes. It's good to be uncomfortable because if we're always comfortable, we're never going to grow. We're never going to mature past where a certain point if we just are comfortable all the time. Life by nature is stressful. And if we don't embrace the stress, we're never going to amount to anything except just be a worthless nobody. And so it's difficult to change because we get comfortable. Another reason, probably the biggest reason that we don't want to change is because we're scared. We're afraid. You know, fear of the unknown is a real thing. And not knowing what God's going to ask us to do can cause people to not get involved in serving in the church or serving in the community because we don't know what the end result's going to be. And fear can be paralyzing to growing in Christ. So those are just a few things, you know. There's lots of other reasons why we're not willing to change. But you know, let me just say this, guys. Don't let these excuses stop you from growing in your relationship with Christ. Don't let these things stop you in your tracks from growing and thriving and maturing in your faith. Because I think we all agree, we hope for changes to take place in 2021. We want things to get back to normal. We want all this stuff to go away. And we're headed that way. But sometimes we don't think about the need to change spiritually. And that's what should be our most important focus. So let me just ask you, what is God calling you to do or to change in your life in 2021? What kind of a New Year's resolution, if you will, you know, it's cliche, but what is God calling you to do in your life spiritually? This is how you were in 2020, but I want to be this way in 2021, and I need the Holy Spirit to help me and to shape me and mold me into the person that you want me to be. So whatever that thing is, or whatever God wants you to do, the first step is making the commitment to say, I'm going to do this. The next step is to rest in the Lord and allow His Holy Spirit to empower you to do that. So let me encourage you to do that. What areas of your life do you need to let go and let God have control of? I pray that you'd be willing to do that in this new year. 2021, I think, promises to be a good year for us. I think we will see things get back to normal. We will have gatherings again. We will see people getting better and this pandemic going away. But what about spiritually? What does God want to do in your life? I pray that you'd be open to that and not give in to these excuses of, you know, not changing. So trust in the Lord. Let Him have control of your life. Let His Holy Spirit be number one so He can bring about the needed change that you need to have in your life. Father, we thank You today for this familiar passage that we focused on this morning. Father, we understand that we need to change spiritually, that we don't need to stay in the same place, that we need to continue to grow and thrive in our relationship with You. And I pray, Father, that whatever that change is, whatever it looks like, Father, show us, and then we need to have the strength and commitment to make the change and to step forward in our lives and then allow Your Holy Spirit to take control and shape us and mold us into who You want us to be. So, Father, do that today, whatever that looks like in our lives. Father, we just we love You so much, and we just commit ourselves to You now. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. Amen. Well, perhaps the Lord has spoken to you this morning about a decision that you need to make, and so Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment, and it's a perfect time for you to let God do business in your heart, to make the commitments to Him that He wants you to make. And so just where you're standing, you can make that commitment to him. Beyond that, if you need to talk to me sometime this week, please let me know, and we'll talk it out. We'll help you to get through whatever it is you're facing in life. You're not alone. You have people here that love you and will help you through your difficulty. All right? But whatever the Lord wants you to do today, I pray that you'd be willing to do that. So let's stand together as Andrew leads us in this song of commitment. You make your decision for Christ today.